don't get discouraged in the memory process. Couple of things, couple of barriers might hit you. If you get discouraged, give me a call, because I really think this will be a blessing to you. I really do. Once you get this process, I really think it'll be a blessing to you, your life, to those around you. Turn with me to Psalm 51, if you would, please. Psalm 51. Our lesson, grab your questions. We'll run through them really quickly. David sought God for mercy. Blot out my transgressions. What does this reveal to, Matthew 11:28. What invitation does Christ give in Matthew 11:28? Come unto me. And then what does this reveal to us about the heart of God? That he cares about like this morning, Sister Diane, he cares. The Lord cares about that. About you and I personally. Luke 15, story of the prodigal son. How does a father in this story picture our Heavenly Father? Compassionate, forgiving, loving. Amen. The father was standing there waiting, looking. Okay, excellent. Psalm 51, 1 and 2. What three things did David want God to do in regard to his sin? Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Excellent. Psalm 51:3 indicates David's... What expression indicates David's great guilt over his sin? Sin's ever before me. That's right. My sin is ever before me. What is the truth taught in Galatians 6:7 that was realized in David's life? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Excellent. Excellent. Good job. Like the prodigal son's father, God opens his arms to us. He says, I love you. Come unto me. No matter what we have done, the moment we repent and turn to Christ, he is there with open arms. He's there with the ring, with the robes, with all those things that is pictured when the son came back. All that blessing, all that authority that comes with that. Waiting with open arms to receive us, to forgive us, to help us. We cannot understand this kind of love, but we certainly thank God for it. Today's lesson, the story of my soul. In front of everybody, Chris. I knew it that first time I drank, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, running all over the mic. The story of my soul. Psalm 51, we see the story of David pouring out his heart before a loving God. Hi, Jerry. We see David pouring out his heart before a loving God. The story of David's soul. When we consider Psalm 51, again, it is the sinner's guide back to God. Psalm 51 is the sinner's guide back to God, as it was for David that pathway back to God. So it is for each one of us, for all mankind. This, the story of David's soul, and as we pray this and as we carry these thoughts and these burdens and we lay them before Holy God, it's the story of our soul, the story of our soul. One of the most amazing personalities in all human history, following in your lessons there, is King David. If you travel to the Middle East today, centuries after the time he lived, people still speak of King David. The flag of the nation of Israel is adorned with the Star of David. His image is impressed upon the entire nation, even to this day. Very few men ever lived and influenced so many as he did. We all have a story to tell. It's the story of our soul, our relationship between us and our God, us and our Savior. In Psalm 51, David opened his heart and poured out his soul. He was opening the door of his soul here in our text, Psalm 51, publicly declaring, "Come and see the darkest day of my life. Come inside and view some things that would to God had never taken place. I thought it was a secret," David said, "but God recorded it in his eternal word so that millions may witness the terrible tragedy. This is the story of my soul," David said. "This is the story of my soul." And again, the purpose of this being recorded is not simply to display David's sin, but it is to show all mankind that there's a way back. You can have done all the things that David did. Having another man's wife, murder, lie, cheat, all those things that took place. And all the people that died as Uriah was put to death. And all those things that took place. And yet, there was a way back to God for David. And it started when he did what? When he turned his heart. When he turned his heart. That's when the way back started. When he turned his heart. Our Savior, his Savior. Our story begins with God. The Bible says in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." Psalm 51:1. Because of God's mercy, David discovered the way back to God. In his dark hour, David had turned away from the Lord. His terrible sin had become a part of his life and became, and there was no one else to blame. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. Of course, 2 Samuel 11 and 12 is the record of David's sin. 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 11 and 12 being the record again of David's great sins. 2 Samuel 12, verses 14 and 15. "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick." Despite the terrible things that had taken place in David's life, we see David here, we see the child becoming sick and then is going to die. Despite the terrible things that that had taken place in David's life, God was still approachable. We can always go to God. He invites us. Christ said, Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Luke 15, let's look at the lost son. Luke chapter 15. And we'll start reading in verse 18. Luke 15, we'll start reading in verse 18. I will arise and go to my... The son had come to his father, had requested all the money that he would have coming to him, and then he left. He took the money and left. He goes out, spends all his money, finds himself out of money, finds that the pigs are eating better than he's eating, realizes servants in his father's house are eating better than he's eating. And then in verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What a story, that the son had taken all, left, gone out and wasted it. We talk about this story as the parable of the lost son. Perhaps more it's about the Heavenly Father than it is about the lost son. It's about the Heavenly Father. It's about our Heavenly Father. This story is about the father that was waiting, and the lad was yet a long way off, and somehow the father saw him. I don't know if he was standing there every day, looking, waiting, but he knew when that boy was a long way off yet that was his boy. And he was coming back. There is a way back to God. And that way starts as we see the lad in the story today. He confessed his sin. And the way back to God starts with a realization that we've done wrong. And then confession of sin. Luke 15 gives a beautiful story about a father who did not stop loving his son. God wants to teach us something about unconditional love. Love that we do not have to earn. No matter what we've done, the moment we repent and turn to our Savior, He is waiting with open arms to receive us, to forgive us, and to help us. You've heard Pastor talk about his past. He had not a good past when he was younger. Maybe many of us here today had not good past. Maybe there's things that we would to God that no one ever knew. As David. Satan says, when those thoughts come up, that you are a failure. That you can't succeed. We can succeed through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God's Word. We can succeed in honoring God in our lives. We can succeed. Satan will tell you the lie. You've done too much wrong. That's why we needed a Savior. Because we had done too much wrong. That's why we needed a Savior, because of our sin. Satan will say, well, that sin's too bad. You can't honor the Lord the rest of your life because you did that. That is ridiculous. It's a lie. It's a lie of Satan. Satan is a deceiver. Don't be deceived. You and I can live victorious Christian lives. We can do that. One way to doing that is hiding God's word in your heart. hide it down there deep. So no matter where you are or whatever comes up, as Pastor says about having a verse, having verses if you're an angry man, having verses ready for angry men. Whatever the issue is in your life, have those verses. Have them hidden in your heart. That way, no matter where you are, God's word can meet the need of your life. You don't have to go pick up a Bible and read it. You've got God's word hidden there. The Father, the loving Father. That's what the story's about. It's about the Father that gave all and yet still loved, still cared. No talk of what he had done. Just come on home. Yes, you've sinned. Come on home. Sin was forgiven. His sin, our sins, they hurt God. Sometimes our kids would get caught doing something. Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you sorry you got caught? Or are you sorry for what you did? I mean, the thought of what I did before a holy God, that has got to be bigger than, oh, I got caught. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. If I say I'm sorry, I can get out of this. If you say you're sorry with a right heart attitude, the forgiveness is there, certainly. So the idea is, it's what it does to our God, not that I get caught. His sin. Psalm 51. His sin. When we call sin by name, we don't try to shade it as, you know, I kind of come up short, and we pad it with nicer terms, and we don't call it sin, then we're not reckoning in ourselves that indeed we've done wrong. We need to call it by its name. It is sin. We know it's against God. We know we need God to forgive our sin. Psalm 51:4, against thee only have I sinned, David said. Thee only. Why? Because God is holy. Man's not holy. Man is not holy without God. God is holy. That's why when David talked about all that he had done, taking another man's wife, murder, all those things that ensued there. David said against thee only. David knew where his sin was. David knew that he had sinned against the holy God. We notice the three words that David used. Transgression, iniquity, and sin in Psalm 51:1 and 2 there. Transgressions, iniquities, our sins. They describe things in our lives that don't honor the Lord. David was saying, I have rebelled. I've crossed the line away from God. I've lived a crooked life. I've left the paths of righteousness for my iniquity. I've missed the mark. I've sinned. David said, blot out my transgression. He didn't say that. He begged it. I imagine he was probably at this point, as he said, blot out my transgression. I imagine his heart, his head was down, his body was down. I imagine that this was total of his soul pouring out to God. God, blot out my transgression. This is a story here of David's soul. Story of David pouring out his soul. Psalm 51 is a way for you and I. If there's sin in our life that's not been dealt with, if we're not walking with the Lord, we need to walk with the Lord. Had David's walk that day, he was on top of the house. Had David's walk that day been right, he'd have the right response. We need to walk with the Lord so that we have the right response when sin comes by. Blot out my transgression. When our sin is forgiven, it is covered in Christ's blood. It's through Christ's blood and Christ's blood alone that we have forgiveness of sin, that we have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through his blood. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's about a work that was completed some 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Covered by Christ's blood, never to be seen again, blotted out. David said, Psalm 51:2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Again here, begging God, please wash me from mine iniquity. David wanted to be a vessel that would be used of God, and he was. He was used of God in a mighty way, but he begged this to God. He was saying, wash me. I'm dirty. I'm stained. Then David said, cleanse me from my sin. He wanted to be clean again. That's nice. It's nice to be clean again. It's nice to have sin forgiven. It's nice to have sin forgiven. Are we seated in the heavenlies? Yes. Right now, you and I are seated in the heavenlies. It's a done deal. We're in heaven. It's a done deal. We're already seated there. But can the fellowship, can there be a problem there? There certainly can be a problem. And that's whatever the sin is in your life, whatever the sin is in my life, whenever we let that sin have its way, we need to come and be cleansed. Whether you kneel by your bed, whether you kneel at an old-fashioned altar, whether you pray, whether your heart is kneeling, praying in your seat, when that forgiveness comes, when that cleansing, when that washing comes, it's so good. His sorrow. We remember the sad occasion of this writing. 2 Samuel 11 and 12. The whole story of what took place there. The having another man's wife, murdering the man, lying, covering up, thinking that he had hid his sin. David thinking he had hid his sin. Then Nathan the prophet coming and telling David the story about a rich man that took a poor man's lamb, and David said that man should surely die. And yet David said to Nathan, or Nathan said to David, God has forgiven you. You're not going to die. God has forgiven you. What, through all that he has done, David said in verse 3, my sin is ever before me. We will live the rest of our lives. Some of the stuff we forget, but some of the things we remember when we sin. I doubt David ever forgot what he did. I doubt he ever forgot it. I dare say if he were to look at a woman again, he'd go, we remember what happened last time. That God's name was besmirched before all the heathen nations. And that's why the child had to die. Because God's name had been defiled. David was haunted with that memory. Others had suffered because of his sin. There is horror in sin. It is guilt that haunts us. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. That haunts us. That haunted David. David here pouring out his soul. Be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23. It is inescapable. When least expected, the thought of sin creeps into the mind. The story of David's soul is the story of his Savior. The story of his sin, the story of his sorrow, but it doesn't stop there. There's a God in heaven who is merciful and who forgives sin. We all have our sorrow. But when we give our sorrow to the Savior, he can give us a new beginning. new beginning in life, a new song in our heart. He can make life over again and make it fresh, make it living, make it live. For all the guilt of our past, we need to recognize that God is willing to forgive. Salvation, we're already seated in the heavenlies once we're saved. For fellowship, he's ready and waiting. Luke 15, the Father waiting for the Son to come back. That which was dead is alive. That which was lost is found. The way back to God. My sin, your sin, breaks that fellowship between us and a holy God. There's a way back. Are we ashamed? Yes. Are we all those things? Yes, we are. But we should not hesitate to go back. Why is it that we avoid the place that would help us the most, where we could get the most? It's hard to go back. You do something wrong to somebody, do you want to see them tomorrow? No, not really, unless you're ready to say, I'm sorry for whatever it was I did. But if you're not ready to say you're sorry, you don't want to see them again. No, I don't think so. Until the point where you'd say, you know, I'm sorry. Then you wouldn't mind seeing them again. But when there's something wrong, you want to avoid them. I'm not going to go that way over there. I'm not going to shake hands today in that section because that person's there. Whatever. We avoid that. Some people were at our house one day, and we used to have a good-sized German Shepherd, and the little boy got afraid of the dog, so he started to run away from the dog. Well, the dog liked that. That was fun. I'm going to chase, because dogs love to chase. So the boy's getting more scared, and he's running away, and he's running, and he's running. And the dog's thinking, man, this is great. I love this. And I'm yelling, Matthew, run to me. Run over here. Because I'm the guy that will tell that dog and will make that dog whatever I decide. I'm the guy. I'm the head dog in his life. There's only one, and it's me. And I'm going, come to me. And he's running around and running around. Come to me. Just come over to me, and I can make it all better for you. But that's our tendency, isn't it? We run away, and we run away, and we run away, and then we finally turn back to the Lord. And he's there with open arms. God loves you and I. God loves us in spite of our sins, in spite of our failures. He still loves us. He's still there with open arms. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for that you're always there with open arms, willing to forgive us at the point that we simply say, we've sinned and we're sorry. Lord, we pray that you would help folks, Lord, that they would, these verses would be fresh in their minds throughout the week. Lord, help us to live victorious Christian lives through personal devotions, through personal prayer, through hiding your word in our hearts. Pray for our pastor as he comes over now, as he drives over. We ask for safety. We ask for the rest of this day that we would honor you, or that your spirit would have free course in this church throughout every room and through every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse